All right, welcome to lecture 9 of GD50. Today's topic is Dread Halls. So last week we ventured into Unity, our first foray into 3D, and not only 3D, but also just getting our hands around, our heads and hands around the Unity game engine, which is among Unreal and others, sort of the most popular game engines in use for 2D and 3D games. And last week we did sort of a 2.5D style helicopter game whereby everything was in 3D, but we were still aligning things based on just two axes, the X and the Y, I believe, possibly the Z and the Y, I don't remember, but two axes versus three axes. Today we'll actually be diving into using all three axes available to us in Unity 3D in the context of a game called Dread Halls. And so what Dread Halls is a it was a VR game, actually the first VR game that I ever played on the Oculus, the Gear VR, Samsung Gear VR, and it pits you in sort of this dark and eerie 3D maze where you don't really know what's going on, and you can go around and get collectibles and encounter creatures and stuff, as you can see in the bottom right screenshot there. Today's example is going to be a little simpler, but it allows us to explore things like procedural maze generation and first-person camera controls. So last week, recall, we were using sort of a third-person camera, whereby we were sort of far back on the scene. Today, we'll actually be using a first-person camera, where the camera is effectively our eyes, as if we were walking around in the maze ourselves. Unfortunately, we won't be using a VR demonstration this week, but next week I hope to put together sort of a VR sampling using this project so we can see how this works in VR and how Unity's toolkit works in VR. So some of the topics we'll be covering today, we'll be talking about texturing. So recall last week, the helicopter and all of the items in our game were just sort of flat colors. They didn't really have any textures associated with them. We'll talk about how to assign textures to materials and how to apply those materials to objects in our scene. We'll talk about materials and lighting. So not only materials, but also the different kinds of lights that Unity supports and a few details about those. We'll talk about, again, 3D maze generation. So we'll have a simple but effective algorithm for creating a 3D data structure to represent our level, as opposed to previously where we had just a tile map that we could generate to give us the appearance of walking around in some sort of 2D world. Now we'll actually perform a similar operation on data, a 2D array, but we'll take that array and we'll actually create 3D blocks and create a maze that we can walk through in 3D space. Which is kind of fun and interesting. Last week we only had one scene in our game, so which was just a play scene, and even though we had sort of like a game over state within that scene, we didn't transition between scenes, we just sort of reloaded the same scene. Today we'll have a title screen and a play scene, which sort of is an evolution of the idea that we had in Love 2D, where we had a state machine that was governing our entire game, in terms of the different states that we could be in, whether it was the title, the game over, the play state, and so forth. Unity does the same thing with scene objects, which are effectively a snapshot of a series of game objects aligned in a particular way in the editor. We'll talk about fog and also global lighting and certain other things that allow us to create an atmosphere conducive to the sort of feel that we want to get in our game today, which is sort of creepy and eerie. And lastly, when we talk about how to create UI elements in the game, we'll talk about Unity 2D, its canvas object, and text labels and some other things and how those all operate, which is sort of two sides of the same coin. Unity 3D also comes bundled with Unity 2D, a set of tools used to make not only 2D games, but also 2D interfaces that you can apply to your 3D games. So first, a demo. Now, I've been sick for the last week, so I'm not going to ask for anybody to come up and demo just because I don't want to get anybody else sick. So I'm going to just go ahead and show just this lecture, the game that I put together for you. So here, I have two scenes. Notice here, I have a title scene and a play scene. I'm in the Unity editor right now. I'm going to load up the title scene here, which I've done. And then notice that it has sort of a game view and a scene view. I'm going to hit play. I'm going to make sure that it's set to maximize, which it is. And so we have sound here, so we should hear audio. And hit play. And notice that we have sort of like this ambient, creepy music track playing. We have a very, we could have easily done this in Love 2D. This is just a black screen with two text labels on it. And this is done with Unity's 2D UI toolkit. And so it tells us to press enter. So if I press enter, we instantly get teleported into kind of like this maze, this creepy looking maze. And so I can walk around in this maze, and there are a few things going on. So anybody, can anybody tell me some of the things they notice about this scene? What jumps out at them? What are some of the elements, if you were to put this together yourself, where would you start? What are the pieces that we can put together here? Yes. Yep, there has to be a ground that you can stand on, and there is. So we're generating not only walls in our scene, of course, but we need a ground to sit on. And also, if you look up top, it's kind of difficult to tell, but we also have a ceiling. So ground and a ceiling and walls. Some kind of lighting, yes. And so in this case, we're actually using ambient world lighting as opposed to having a light source. So we'll take a look at that. In 2 weeks prior's lecture, we used a directional light object. But in this case, we have no lights in the scene. We're actually using Unity's world lighting, which we'll take a look at soon. When we walk around, notice that I can move where my camera's looking with my mouse. So we're actually controlling the camera with a first-person controller, an FPS controller, which is actually a component that Unity provides to you. And then notice, eventually, if we keep exploring the maze, we come across this little thing here, which is a sort of a pickup. And when we pick this up, we get sort of like this piano, weird, creepy piano sound, and then the scene reloads. Does anybody notice anything about what we see in the distance, like how that's affected? Like if I'm looking at this wall right here, for example, it's kind of hard to tell, but as opposed to like down this hallway, what's the difference there?
The light source is further away, I guess?
The light source is further away, kind of. So what we're experiencing here, what we're seeing is it's a graphics sort of concept called fog. And so what fog lets you do is it effectively adds color to the scene based upon how far away the objects are in the scene. It multiplies color onto them. And it gives you the illusion of looking as if you're surrounded by fog, basically. And it's been around for a very long time, back even as far as the N64 days. And we'll talk about that later today. And it's actually incredibly easy to add that into a game with Unity and its world lighting system. Any idea as to how fog, not only in terms of aesthetics, but how it could maybe help with performance? Yeah.
You don't need as much pixel clarity because it's already blurred.
You don't need as much pixel clarity. Kind of. The big thing about fog and the way that it was used a long time ago is that because eventually things are completely opaque beyond a certain point, you don't need far draw distance in your game. So you can actually, like, dynamically, you can omit rendering things that are a certain distance away because you wouldn't be able to see them anyway. And so this was an optimization technique used a lot back when draw distance was a huge bottleneck on computers and video game consoles back in like the 90s, for example. Like Silent Hill, the game for PS1, was almost exclusively fog, and you could see very little in front of you, and we'll see a screenshot of that later. And they use that to boost their performance and also to provide a certain aesthetic. And then one other thing you might be paying attention to is there's a sound on loop, just sort of this creepy sort of whispering sound, and that's to just add atmosphere, right? Just because without it, we would, you know, it's little things like that, especially in horror games like this. The atmosphere can be everything. So with very simple ideas, fog, some whispers, first-person controller, sort of tight hallways, you can produce something that's pretty scary. Now, there are a few things missing from this. Namely, there's nothing that's going to come at you and attack you. But it would be not terribly difficult to add. But because we're using procedural generation, you would need what's called a nav mesh. And you would need to generate that procedurally so that things could follow you in 3D space. We might have some time to talk about how to do that a little bit later today, but that's not implemented in this particular lecture. But it would be not too infeasible to accomplish. But those are some of the pieces that we'll take a look at today. So this is the title scene. Notice that there's not a whole lot here, actually. So if I zoom back out, we can see, you know, canvases are huge in Unity, just because it's more optimized for the engine to render them that way. But we can see, even though it's a 2D sort of UI, it's very visible in 3D space. And if we click this button here, we end up getting, that just brings us into, sorry, click this button here, that brings us into sort of the 2D, Unity 2D mode. So now we're interacting with things in 2D, and I can actually click on this label and move it around in 2D as if we were using a 2D game engine as opposed to a 3D game engine. So we'll look at that a little bit later. This is the just the title scene, so the play scene itself. I'm not going to save that. The play scene itself, I'm going to go from 2D back to 3D here, is pretty much empty. So we have a first-person controller here. This is the FPS controller object. Does anybody tell what basically constitutes an FPS controller just by looking at the scene here? What are some of the pieces that jump out at you?
I thought you just put the camera right where the player is, or right in front of the player.
Exactly. You put the camera right where the player is, effectively where their head should be relative to where their body is. And their body, what's constituting their body here? Can you tell?
It could just be a cube. It looks like a cube in the middle there.
It's actually this capsule right here. I don't know if you can see it. There's this capsule here, this green capsule. It's a little bit more organic feeling than a cube necessarily, but you could use a cube as well. But a capsule is how character controllers in Unity are represented. And character controllers sort of come for free in Unity, which is really nice. They're part of the standard assets. So if you go to import package in Unity, if you're going to assets, import package, there's a lot of packages that come for free that sort of bootstrap you. Notice that there's like 2D packages, cameras, characters. The characters package has 3D characters, or third-person characters, first-person characters, some that are physics-based, some that are not physics-based. This particular controller is not physics-based, meaning that we don't apply forces to it. We move it around. It's kinematic. It is affected by gravity, so in a sense, it kind of is physics-based, but it's not strictly physics-based like a rigid body and a rigid body would. And the collisions that occur between this and another rigid body aren't the same as they would be if we were to make this a purely rigid body-based character controller. There is a purely rigid body-based character controller that you can import. I haven't experimented with it a lot, but you could probably figure out a good use for that in terms of a game where maybe you want to move precisely on surfaces that have different materials, like icy surfaces or whatnot, and have it apply it in a very physically realistic way. Another few things that we have here in our play scene, we have a dungeon generator object. So this dungeon generator object is just an empty object with a level generator script here. And then we have a few other objects, a floor parent, a walls parent, and a whisper source. So we'll get into the details of what all of those mean. Our goal today, we'll be talking about a few things. So we'll be talking about, here's a picture of just our maze. So we talked about some of those things at a high level. We'll actually explore how to implement them in Unity today. So making a maze, making the fog effect, walking through it with our character controller. We want to be able to have some kind of gameplay here. So we have collectibles in the form of this red coin. It's actually part of another standard assets pack, the prototype assets pack. It comes with a prototype little coin object that you can throw in. Anybody notice anything about this coin beyond the fact that it's just a sort of red coin? What else do you notice about this scene here?
It's emitting a glow.
Any ideas as to how it's emitting a glow? The light source inside of it, exactly. So we'll talk about that. We'll show you how that's implemented. Very easy to do in Unity. And then we'll also talk about, towards the end, our 2D scene, our title scene, and how to construct it, which is actually very easy in Unity as opposed to doing something by code. You do very rarely, actually, for interfaces need to touch code, at least in terms of how to lay them out. In Unity, you can do everything very visually and with the mouse, and it's a pleasure to make interfaces if you're used to just making them in code. So texturing. So last week, or 2 weeks ago, we did nothing with textures. That's not true. We had one texture on the background, which was the sort of scrolling background, but we didn't really look at that too much. In today's example, the helicopter and the coin and the buildings and all that stuff, those were all just polygons with flat colors associated with them.